I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path of long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Dr. Julius Ovid coming to the program, and he's actually from Cameroon. And he's on their advisory committee for the government of Cameroon for COVID and nutrition. He's a doctor of nutrition and biochemistry and a professor. He teaches there in Cameroon as well. And he's been to the United States and back quite a bit. And we talk about all issues on this thing. And if anybody who follows me have been seeing my articles, see me on Twitter, see me on you know, all the different social media, knows that I am pretty avid that this was a... that they're implementing level 5 measures, but with the new Swiss policy report, it's really a level 2 pandemic, and that all these measures were overboard, and that the cure is hurting more people. More people are dying of stress, and a lot of people have gained weight and heart attacks and all these things. I asked him point blank, why are we doing this? And I really respect his answers on this, because you got to listen to it on why are we in this flippant situation, and we got to, you know, peel this thing back, because the cure is killing so many. It's going to, you know, with these mass bankruptcies, the suicide rate, the, you know, the calls into the suicide hotlines over 1,000%. And we need to get back to healthy, reasonable measures so that we understand this is hurting people. And so we answer some of those questions, and then we talk about how to stay healthy, because the stress is creating major issues. Everybody's gained weight during this pandemic. The United States is moving towards, if we go on the same trajectory, which there's nothing slowing it down, by the end of this decade, we're going to be at a 50% obesity rate or higher. And our just overweight is the mass majority of this population is overweight. And so he talks about what that's doing to our children, what it's doing to us. Why can't we stop eating? And we talk about the leptin. We do talk about Tetragen, because he's familiar with it, and how that helps specifically, and inflammation. I bring up C60 because it's the best for inflammation. Tetragen helps as well, but what Tetragen does, and I've talked about this a lot, is the leptin. It gets that message to your brain that you're not hungry anymore, because, and it takes a while to set up, but because of our system and because of our bodies being overweight, and you're not getting the message that you aren't hungry anymore. And people who have children, if you end up gaining a lot of weight, he explains why this is happening, why this happens in your body, and why it's important that we, especially what's coming down the pike. I don't, you know, if you watch my programs, you know that there's a lot going on here, and that we need to get healthy. We need to care about ourselves. We need to care about our family. But why? Why is that? Why is that so important? So that's what we talk about. I want to tell you that people are being censored big time. I had 9 videos with doctors be removed by YouTube, and not just medical doctors, but doctors of toxicology, doctors in chemistry, doctors in different areas. And 9 of them over the last couple months. And so they're censoring information that people need to get. But regardless, they're censoring people all across the board. A lot of conservatives, anybody who remotely says anything positive about Trump is censored. So unless you hate him, you're censored. And I can't see how they can hate him to the degree that they do. It just seems deranged. But regardless, because of that, there's a patriot movement that has, it's the one that I list is Green Pill Living. They have Red Pill Living. But on my site, it's Green Pill Living. And I am moving Tetragen, and also I'm going to have CBD oil. We've decided to move Tetragen to this Green Pill Living so that it can help all of others in that, all the Patriot Movement, because they're struggling to, they're being demonetized left and right. They're not getting the numbers. So we're moving it to there. And so first time buyers will get a 15% discount. And my patrons, they still get their Patreon discount, but make sure you're using the right coupon, because that could change what coupon, what's in the name of it is. So make sure you go to Patreon and look for that coupon. And I just want to tell you, because it's, we really got to help these patriots survive, people who are trying to save this country. I think it's more obvious than ever that our country is under attack, and from all different angles. And we gotta be on top of this. And the last thing we need is for the voices of people who care about this country to be silenced. And that's what they're trying to do. So again, the link for that is below. You can go to sarahwestall.com/shop, look for Tetragen, look for the CBD oil. It will bring you to Green Pill Living, and you'll be able to purchase it there. Again, anything you buy as a first-time buyer, you'll get 15% off. So let's get into this really important interview with Dr. Julius Obin. Julius, thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, you are a doctor of nutritional and biological studies and a professor, and you're also, from what I understand, on the COVID nutritional team for Cameroon, your country. Can you talk about what that means?
Right, Sarah. What that basically means is that, through the Cameroon Academy of Science, we advise the government on the things that have changed and the way things are going to go with COVID being around. I mean, we know for sure, I think it's not only in Cameroon, all over the world, that COVID is going to be around with us for a very long time. And that will have to come with certain changes in our ways of life, and especially nutrition and what we eat, how we eat, and what actually happens to our bodies.
Well, let me ask you, before we get into this, COVID will be around forever, just like any other flu or cold or whatever. But according to numbers worldwide, the Swiss Research Policy Group put out a paper showing that the numbers is really, we're acting like it's a level 5 pandemic, but it really is only a level 2 pandemic, according to U.S. official levels of pandemics. Why are we acting like it's a level 5, but the numbers are only showing a level 2?
Right. I think, Sarah, the reason for that is, I think it's twofold. The first one is that this came as a surprise to everybody. And like with anything that we cannot put concrete scientific data behind it, it creates a sense of panic. So if you look at the numbers, fine, I mean, it's level 2. But because of the panic and, you know, happening to every part of the world at basically the same time, I think that is why this whole, I keep on saying panic and thinking that it's a pandemic better, you know, bigger than it actually is.
Why don't they pivot knowing that the level 5 protocols of locking people down and masks and social distancing and all the bankruptcies, that is going to cause a lot of deaths even more than the pandemic will. Why aren't officials pivoting quickly to a level 2 level protocols when the level 5 protocols are so damaging to people? I mean, everybody would agree with level 5 protocols if it was a level 5 pandemic. We'd see people dying everywhere, where we would be scared and it would be valid. But why are, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I mean, it comes back to what I just said, because we don't really understand COVID. That is the reason for the panic. If it's something that was better mastered, better managed, then I don't think there would be such a panic. But because we don't understand it, we don't have the information, we are out looking for information every day. Every day, you know, something new comes up, something pops up. And I think that is why many, governments took that stand as to say, well, we're going to put the maximum resources together, even if it's going to affect people, even if it's going to affect economies as it's done, let's put the maximum back to make sure that it doesn't, you know, get out of hand until such a time that we can better master it.
But don't you think that there's so many studies showing that people are going to die from stress, from, you know, the bankruptcies, the amount of stress and heart attacks. I've had top cardiologists on my show just talking about being unemployed, that you have, God, what was the stat? Like 300%. I mean, there was a huge increase in suicides and heart attacks and everything else being unemployed. And so they clearly know those studies. They know, you know, just whenever we go into recession, hundreds of thousands of children die around the world. So we're going to have a lot more people dying from their level five plans. Why would they? I mean, I realize they want to be cautious, but their cautious is killing a lot more people, because the level five is, if it's not warranted, they know it's going to kill people.
Yes, very true. I mean, I think.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, these things, you have to strike a balance. You have to strike a balance. And I think those measures are going to be a bit, you know, they're going to start going down on the measures, on the restrictions, and all those things, because we started getting to know a bit better how to manage the conditions. So I think those restrictions are going to go down, they're going to reduce, now that people have started getting to know or have a better idea about management strategies. Nothing else.
I mean,
you're very right, Sarah. Yeah, very right, Sarah. That you know, the damage that it's caused, the result of all the illnesses that have resulted from the measures, rather than from COVID itself, has probably done more damage, and you know, it's going to get worse. I'm just hoping and praying that we don't have another spike, because if there is another spike and we have to go through these measures again, with the underlying conditions now, I mean, it is going to be even a bigger disaster.
Well, it is. I just think that maybe they learn from it and realize that the young people are pretty much impervious to it, pretty much. I mean, sure, there's some cases, and if they're obese and stuff, but the herd immunity that those young people will get to the people that will give to the older, or to the ones that are more vulnerable, if they just get it and they create that herd immunity. Now, are they concerned that there's going to be something that changes about it? You know, is there going to be, I mean, a lot of people are saying it was a bioweapon, even like our top person that actually wrote the bioweapon statute in the United States says it's a bioweapon. Chinese government says it's a bioweapon. So there's a lot of people talking about it. Some people are concerned that a second wave might be an inserted bioweapon that changes it. I don't know what you think. I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, but it does if they put something in that's worse.
Yes, I mean, I don't want to go down that line that's a bioweapon, because we don't have the full information to actually call it that. Yes. And, you know, as scientists, we need to really go into this with an open mind. And that open mind is look at all the different possibilities. We'll look at the possibilities. And because you go in with the mind that it is a bioweapon, then you start getting limited.
That's very fair. Yes, that is. You should never do that on either side.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, we look at it and say, well, okay, why is it affecting some people more than other people? That is a key question there. To me, maybe you ask me, well, people have different levels of immunity. People have been exposed to different things. They've been exposed to different foods. They've been exposed to different ways of life. And has that actually helped their immunity? Has that actually helped them to better cope with the initial infections and the way that is actually, managed for them? There are people, I mean, you get two people who are going to have the same treatment protocol. Some will do better than others. Okay. What makes a difference? Those are all questions that will come up. And, you know, coming back to what you say, if there is a second wave, how is that going to go down? I hope it's not going to be that, well, whatever was causing that infection in the first place has been modified, where the body can still not recognize the virus. We're hoping that it's not that way. But even if it is that way, I think health systems all over the world are better prepared to manage some of these conditions. And that panic is not going to be there. I don't think, and I don't hope, that will ever get to the category five type way of management ever again. I
I
hope we don't
hope to
get there.
God you're right, because it's very
Yes.
important, right, for the other health. Now, you are being a nutritionalist and being actually on your government's panel. Is there, other than doing things to increase your immune system, there's some things that just, are you noticing that there's specific foods and things that you need to do that's relevant for COVID, different than just a standard immune system?
Right. I mean, we need to look at the things that actually affect the immune system. What we eat is very important. We need to be able to maintain an ideal weight for our bodies. We need to, for once, the advice that has been given over and over the years is the intake 5 portions of fruit and vegetable at least a day. Okay. I think, people who have actually respected that over the years would have stronger immune systems, better able to cope with things like this. So I think what's going to happen is, if you ask me, recommend what I'm going to recommend, the same thing I recommend to people, just eat as many colors as you can. I mean, that is the key for your immune system. Eat as many colors as you can. So you go to the supermarket, just take things of different colors, fruits, vegetables of different colors. And the more colors you eat, the more likely you get the right things to help your immune system.
Well, let me ask you, in our country, in the United States, we are approaching a 50% obesity rate by the year 2030. The majority of the people are overweight. If you come here, you look around, it's really obvious. And, I taught at the university for 5 years at the University of Minnesota, and I had some students that were from different countries. And their country, we had some talks about the obesity. It was a really interesting thing because, I taught business. And how you market to different cultures and stuff. And one of the students was from a country in Africa, and I can't remember. It wasn't Cameroon. I can't remember where she was, but their culture is that if you're heavy and overweight, you're actually it's culturally more acceptable than to be thin. And in the United States, I wish it was that way, but in our United States, it's everybody wants to be thin, but they're all fat, What is the And those are two serious issues. Both issues are issues. What is the effect of obesity on your immune system? Because my understanding, it's one of the worst things. The children who have died from COVID or from the flu or from serious issues, you or serious illnesses like that, are usually obese. That's what their comorbidity is. So why is it so hard on our system when you're overweight? And even not even obese, just overweight.
I mean, we talk about ideal weight. When we talk about ideal weight, it's not just how physically you look, but all that ideal weight is actually tied to health parameters of your body. And the fatter you get, the heavier you get, those health parameters start going down. Key thing for most of these things is oxidative stress. Oxidative stress is a key to many, health conditions, and that is number one in terms of links to obesity or being overweight. I mean, as you rightly say, you don't have to be obese. Just being overweight takes up number one, inflammatory response in your body. Number two, oxidative stress. And all of these things start having an effect on the different organs. Okay? And I'm not surprised. I wasn't surprised at all that those were the things, the key things. Overweight, obesity, just like all that related conditions, like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, all of those, and people who suffered from those conditions were those who were most likely or who were actually not able to cope very well with the COVID infection.
Well,
Okay.
when one thing that happens here, and I know I really like this product called Tetragen that I use, because in our country, and this is why they're seeing that there's so many issues, but this is one of the main issues, is that people can't stop eating because they don't get the message that you're not hungry anymore. You know, the leptin to your brain.
Yeah.
Is that a problem that's more, I mean, are you seeing that all over the world? Or is that, why are we having this problem where, I mean, before I started taking this product, where it started saying, okay, it started getting the message to my brain that you no longer, I sat there and I'm like, oh my God, I could eat all day. You know, I'm like, this is really bad. And I just sit and I'd really work hard not to eat. But then it really, it's helped me so much. I can't even tell you why is it like that?
Okay. Right. Sarah, I mean, just to come back to some of the things you said, I know Minnesota very well. I actually lived in Minnesota for 3 years.
Oh, you did?
So,
okay.
I did for 3 years. A lot of the work that I do is actually in the United States as well. We talk about leptin. The reason I raise that is leptin in Cameroon is just the same like leptin in the United States. The more fat cells you have, the bigger you are, as you get bigger, so is your leptin production going to increase, because it's actually the fat cells that produce the leptin. And that leptin actually gets to the brain, where it actually tells the brain that, this person has enough energy stored in fat and don't need to eat that much, or shouldn't eat and should stop eating. But once that happens, and it continuously, for people who are overweight and obese, it kind of, dampens or dulls off those receptor sites in the brain, where the leptin that is actually produced by those fat cells don't get the reaction that it's supposed to get in the brain. So the brain doesn't see the signal and just, keeps feeling that, I should eat, because that signal doesn't come back. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, no, because I've never been obese, but I've been pregnant, which is like being obese. I mean, I gained so much weight.
It's not like being obese, Sarah.
Well, it felt like it, but but is that because you do gain a lot of weight at that point? Could that also trigger? Is that why a lot of people can't lose weight after they're pregnant too? I mean, because like my husband's super thin, and he never has that issue.
That's something else. Don't forget that when you get pregnant, your metabolism changes completely, and it becomes more efficient. Your metabolism actually becomes more efficient. So what you have in terms of what you need, okay, you're going to need less of that. And most people don't realize that once you're pregnant, you don't need to eat more than, because your metabolism actually gets more efficient. At that stage, you actually have to watch out what you eat in terms of variety rather than increasing the quantity. In cases where the person is obese, this is totally different thing. Obesity, first of all, will cause inflammation. Inflammation is one of the key things that will affect the reaction of your brain in terms of getting the leptin signal. So that inflammation and the what you're taking, I've worked with Tetragen for a long time, and that is one of the things that it does. It actually manages that inflammation. It actually makes the brain resets its clock to be able to start recognizing that leptin signal again.
Do you have, let me ask you, is it not just being obese, but also overweight? Because you say you need to get to a healthy. So if you're overweight, you're still going to have those leptin issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, overweight, you're going to have a leptin issue. How do we get obese? It's when we are overweight and we cannot control that. That is how we go to the next stage, which is obesity. So from that time, once you are overweight, once you go past your ideal weight, the key thing for you is try to get back to that ideal weight, because you're going the wrong direction. You're going the wrong direction from obesity, from being overweight, going towards obesity. You should know that that's where you're going. If no measures are taken, then you're going to get there. Okay? Don't forget that, you know, the way you look is based on what comes in and what goes out. What comes in terms of food you take in, and what goes out in terms of, you know, energy expenditure. With the present crisis, I mean, confinement, for example, distancing and all of that, what happens? People are locked in. They, you know, physical activity is going to go down.
Well, their stress goes way up.
Stress is going to go way up. With stress comes inflammation. So you just have all the wrong signals that are going to be produced. And the one thing that COVID is sure to do is going to make people actually get fatter.
And I think people are all saying that. People are all, I know that people, yeah. I know, they're all saying they've gained weight. I mean, across the board. And I think you're absolutely right. But it's so bad, right? I mean, if you do get sick, and it's not just COVID, but it's anything that's coming down the pike, you are more at risk, period.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, how do we even develop some of those, pathologies? It's actually because we're overweight, nothing else. So it is very important. And I mean, I feel very, very sorry for your country that we're getting to the 50%, you know. About 20 years ago, when I actually, you know, started actively working on overweight and obese people, we were at the time for the United States, I think it was something like 22%, and it was the highest in the world, you know. And it's just been going up over the years, and something needs to be done. Sarah, it comes down to the individual, okay? Because no government policy is going to reverse what you're saying. It has to be down to the individual. People have to be able to better take care of themselves, okay? People need to seek advice on the right things to eat. People who cannot help themselves have to turn to, you know, alternative ways of helping themselves. You know, if you can, it's not everybody who can go out and run, you know, for 2-3 miles, but, you know, there are things out there to help. And, you know, you rightly say that I don't know what you've been taking that you say helps your weight, but, you know, it is important to get help if need be.
Well, I'm just saying I take the Tetragen that you're aware of because of the leptin issue.
Yeah.
I also work with C60, which really deals with inflammation.
Yep.
Tetragen deals with the inflammation
it
too.
Does.
So I have two things. C60 just is like a vacuum cleaner for free radicals. For me, it was the leptin. I it was a lifesaver.
Right.
But now, what do you see? Where do you see things going in the future? I mean, where? I mean, because it can't continue like this. I mean, eventually we're just going to, I mean, we can't have 100% of people being obese. I mean, what is going on?
No. I think what's going to happen is that they'll get to a point where people would start realizing that being overweight, being obese is not doing them any good. Everything in America is big. Portion sizes are big, massive. Okay? It's going to get to a point where people will have to realize that, you know, what fast food, junk food is no good. People have to start eating healthily. People have to reduce the amount of processed food that they eat, because that's number one key for inflammation, processed food. Okay? People have to just, you know, will know that there are things out there like the Tetragen you're talking about, okay? But we have to realize that Tetragen on its own, or all of those, things that work in similar fashion, can only do so if you tie it to good nutritional advice.
Yes, absolutely. You can't do it. And you have to exercise, right? I mean, you've got
exactly.
to get moving.
Exactly. You know, because exercise, for example, you know, helps insulin resistance, which is another big problem. It helps your insulin resistance, Okay? You need to make sure that you exercise, you eat, eat properly. Okay? But what people want to do is to go out, eat all the junk food that they can eat, and go home and pop in, pop a capsule in and think that's going to be the
No,
solution. No.
no.
No. It's not going to work.
You can't just do that. Well,
No,
okay.
those things are to help.
Where can, do you have a blog or anything where people can learn more about you or learn what you're doing? Because I think, being on this committee and doing it for nutritional needs for in this age, I think is so great with COVID. A lot of people would be interested in that. Do you have a blog or anything where people can read what you're up to and what you're doing?
No, Sarah, because I always believe that my life is in the laboratory. Okay, and it's just of recent that I started talking about. I stand in front of students and tell them, try to get knowledge into them. But maybe you're just giving me ideas of where I should be looking. I mean, especially.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, especially in this COVID period, I've had a lot of people call to find out what are my views on them. I've tried to advise people. I've actually I've been advising people for the past 15 years on what they should and should not be doing. And that's all you do, people advice is there to be given. And people will say, well, okay, you take it or you don't take it. But yes, Sarah, thanks for suggesting that. I will think about it.
Well, you should. And thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure you'll have more people interested in what you're doing.
I'm happy we were able to have a discussion. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.